Welcome to the First Pres Sermon Podcast, where each week we dive into Scripture, wrestle with truth, and discover how faith intersects our lives. God's Word meets us where we are, challenging, shaping, and calling us into something greater. No matter where you are on your journey, you belong here, and we're praying that this sermon might help you take a next step in faith towards Jesus. Hey, let's dive into today's message together.
Well, good morning. Good to be worshiping with you. I wanted to share maybe one of the greatest moments in cinematic history. I've been thinking about this all week. It came in 1939 in The Wizard of Oz, okay? Now, maybe it's been a while since you've seen that, but what happens at the beginning is Dorothy is running around with Toto, her dog. There's Auntie M. Toto bites the neighbor. She's going to have the dog destroyed. Dorothy runs away with Toto, has a change of heart, runs back towards home, and in that gets caught up in a tornado. And her house is lifted and transported into this magical world called Oz. And the house falls, and spoiler alert, but on the Wicked Witch of the East, and kills her, which is very sad. And then adventures come from there. And it's great. But the really kind of the cinematography piece that was interesting is that it starts, the whole first 20 minutes of the movie is filmed, not in black and white, but in this sepia tone. That's like the, you know, the old photographs, kind of the brownish color. You know what I'm talking about? Yes? Okay. And so this sepia tone. And so Dorothy goes from kind of dull, drab, brown Kansas into this world. She opens the door to Oz, and all of a sudden there's color, vibrant color, technicolor everywhere. She's seeing new things. Things are amazing. Her eyes are opened to just something totally different, something totally new that she's not experienced before. Maybe you've experienced a bit of that driving west from Kansas, and then you hit colorful Colorado, right? Maybe you've seen that. Sorry, Kansas. I'm sorry. And so it really is amazing. And again, in the movie, Dorothy is awakened. She has this whole new perspective, a whole new shift in that moment. Now, friends, thankfully, we were not made to live in a sepia tone world. We were made for vibrant, rich, full color. That's what we were designed for. But it seems like our world has really messed with the hue and the tint on the TV, and really we are living in what seems like a sepia tone world again. I mean, our literal TV screens have been filled this past week with tragic footage and photos and dialogues, conversations. My social media feeds this week have been filled with flags, all kinds of flags. There's Ukrainian and Russian, American flags, Iranian, Israeli, Palestinian flags. My feeds are filled with flags and anger and angry messages, angry faces, hate-filled comments and hopeless comments and tears. Our world is in a difficult spot. And it's not just the international conflicts that are occurring. Last year, the CDC published a survey noting that diagnosed mental or behavioral health conditions among adolescents had increased 35% from 2016 to 2023. So that now 1 in 5 adolescents have a diagnosed condition that they're dealing with. Politico published a survey from a few months ago in which only 19% of Gen Z said that they trust the federal government to do the right thing most of the time, 19%. We've seen sports betting become this massive industry, going from $13 billion in 2019 to $57 billion in 2021 and $121 billion in 2023. And corresponding with that has been this massive uptick, increase in calls to gambling hotlines and addiction assistance needs. We've seen drug overdoses skyrocket. In 1985, 3,612 people lost their lives to an overdose of a controlled substance. And in 2024, that number was over 80,000. And so we see in these polls, these studies on our TV screens, on our social media feeds, we see this concerning portrait. Our world is anxious and polarized and addicted. And surely you have people, you can put your own names and faces over those statistics, right? You've seen this in your own circle. And you've wrestled with this yourself. You've experienced where color has been drained, where sepia tone has taken over. We're in a series this couple of months on the fruit of the Spirit. Rather than a sepia-toned anxiety and despair and anger, the Bible tells us that as we walk with Jesus, the Holy Spirit grows in us and ripens in us the technicolor fruit of love and joy, of peace and patience, of kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And if we're walking with Jesus over time, our lives will look more and more. We will look more and more and more like those things. We will be shaped more and more into the likeness of Jesus who lives those things out fully. And we'll be awakened to a world of vibrant color. So let's prepare our hearts and go to the Word to see what the Lord has to offer us in place of the brokenness that the world has for us. Let's pray. Lord, you are good. You are living and active. You speak to your people. You speak through your word. And so we ask, Lord, now that you would open our hearts, that we would receive what you have to tell us, or that we would receive from your word today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our passage today, Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 18, says, John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? When the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? At that very time, Jesus cured many who had disease and sickness and evil spirits and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, go back, report to John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Can you imagine the look on Jesus' face in this passage? Jesus, he again exhibits the fruit of the Spirit in all its fullness. And so I think that as he's responding to John's disciples, there's got to be just a sparkle in his eye. There's gonna be a grin kind of coming across his face. I think when we look at Jesus, there is joy. So let's look at this passage closer again. John the Baptist has been put in prison. We know he's been in prison for a while. He's there because he was critiquing Herod, the local ruler, critical of his adulterous marriage and some of the other evils that he had perpetrated. And so John's disciples were checking in with John and bringing him the news, and especially of the comings and goings of Jesus. And so at this point, John's disciples, they've heard Jesus teach with a new authority. They witnessed Jesus heal the centurion's servant, the one who was close to death. They witnessed the event that we talked about last week, where Jesus actually raised to life the son of a widow who had died. John's followers, they would have been so excited about what was going on with Jesus, and they take reports of these things over to John. But John, who's been stuck in prison, he's starting to wonder if he really correctly understood who Jesus was. So he asks his disciples to go to Jesus, to ask him outright, to confirm that he actually is the promised Messiah. And so they do. They go to Jesus and they ask, are you the one? Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? That's a heavy question to ask. It's a question of someone who really expected one thing and got another. Maybe you've been there yourself. Maybe you've prayed that prayer. Lord, I thought you would heal this. Lord, I thought you would save this marriage. Lord, I trusted that you would take care of things, but here I am carrying a cardboard box out of the office that I was just let go from. Lord, are you the one in whom we can put our hope? Or should we be looking for something or someone else? Jesus looks to John's disciples and he says, go back and report to John what you've seen and heard. He's not critical. He doesn't rebuke the question, but he says, the blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised. The good news is proclaimed. So am I the one who is to come? Yes. Yes, the kingdom is here. The kingdom is at hand. It doesn't look maybe exactly how you expected it to look, but it's bursting into the world all around you. And where the kingdom of God is present, there is joy. What exactly is joy as we think through these various fruits, as we think about love and joy? What is joy? I saw a poster not too long ago. It said, everyone brings joy to this office. Some when they enter and others when they leave. That was not one of our First Pres offices. It was not hanging up in there, but I saw that. You know, it can be easy for us to confuse maybe happiness and joy. What's the difference between happiness and joy? Happiness is based on circumstances. It's a sense of excitement, an emotion. It's being handed a chocolate chip cookie right out of the oven, right? It is. It's smelling that new car smell. It's sitting on the beach, sipping a beverage out of a pineapple, right? That's happiness. Or maybe one of the most rare happinesses is cheering on as you watch the Broncos win a game, right? I mean, just like that's a moment of happiness that is so rare in this life. Joy, on the other hand, joy is deep. It's this enduring contentment and satisfaction. See, joy exists when we have a lasting hope for something wonderful. Happiness is maybe a warm, sunny day. Joy is knowing that spring is going to come even in the dead of winter. So joy is the fruit of a right relationship with God. Our English word joy, it comes out of, as we translate it, Hebrew and Greek words that are sometimes translated joy or gladness, mirth, brightness, shining, and then fun phrases like springing and leaping and exalting and shouting and dancing in circles. All through Scripture, God is both seen as the source from where joy comes from and the object of joy. Joy is this natural outcome of being in relationship with God. When we walk with Jesus, joy bubbles up in us and overflows, and we're moved to gladness. We also see that joy and hope go together. See, Christian joy is not rooted in what's happening around us, but what Christ has already done and has promised to do. Christian joy is not shaken when the earth gives way and mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Christian joy is not rocked when circumstances here on earth are difficult, when there's pain and conflict and uncertainty. Christian joy is based in a coming kingdom and Christ, who is our one foundation. And so that's what John's disciples get when they ask Jesus this question. Jesus demonstrates the kingdom right in their presence. And so blind see and lame walk and leprosy is healed over and over and over again. Growing up, my wife's family, she grew up here in Colorado Springs. And so they would go to Phoenix for a lot of their spring break trips. And so Ashley talks about being with Brian in the car, and which is a tough experience, I think, for her, knowing my brother-in-law, but talks about being with Brian in the car, and the game that they would play on their way to Phoenix was always to look for one of those saguaro cactus, you know, the big, giant cactus, and so they'd play this game, who could be the first one to see it? Who could be the first one to see it? And so Ashley's talked about the thrill of seeing the cactus and being able to spot it and call it out, and part of that was just to be able to have one over on her brother, but part of that, I think, it was also just this thrill of knowing we are almost here. We are almost there. Phoenix is not far off. We're coming close. We can see it. It's coming close. C.S. Lewis describes joy in kind of a similar way. In his autobiography, Surprised by Joy, Lewis describes a feeling of unsatisfied desire, which is itself more desirable than any other satisfaction. That's how he describes joy. He says, it's almost, my version of that is almost, it's like this itch that can't quite be scratched, but somehow somehow it produces satisfaction. For joy, for Lewis, joy is really just a signpost. It's a signpost pointing to something greater. Joy is like a saguaro cactus pointing towards Phoenix. It's a hint of a far-off country. Joy is a glimpse of heaven that we pick up. And so Jesus wants John's disciples to understand that proof is all around them, that the evidence of his messiahship was the joy-inducing kingdom of God events that they were witnessing. And that kingdom continues to break out. We live today in the hope of a coming kingdom. We live today in the promise of eternal life with God, of belonging and being known by the Creator. And we constantly are catching glimpses of that. I got to be around a campfire just a couple of weeks ago up at Camp Elam with some of our third to fifth graders and some of our students who are serving there. And we got to sit and hear testimonies from students at the end of the week. And things were said like, I started my walk with Jesus this week. Or I feel loved. I have a relationship with Jesus because of this week. Those are moments, these glimpses of the kingdom at work in these young hearts. Last month, I got to officiate a wedding, and I stood with a bride and a groom, and they professed their love for one another, and they made a promise to walk with one another, to care for each other, to love one another as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her. That's another signpost. That's another glimpse of this love that we have in our Creator. Two Sundays ago, we joined hands around the church. Over 300 of us prayed together. And we expressed the truth that we have a living and active God. And we asked God to pour out his Spirit on this church and on our city, that his name would be known. And we joined hands and we sang together, proclaiming good news in the streets of Colorado Springs. Another glimpse of a kingdom moment. 2 months ago, we had 24 baptisms right here in the worship center. We heard the proclamations of faith from people whose lives had been changed because of an encounter with Jesus. Over and over, we watched people go under the water and come up to new life, surrounded by cheers and tears of joy. It's the joy of the kingdom present. We're seeing dead hearts raised, blind eyes opened to life in full color. I'm sure you guys can point some of these moments in your own life, moments where you've seen the kingdom break into your life, where you've experienced the joy of the Lord. So when we invite the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, when we invite the Holy Spirit to move in us, when we look to the face of Jesus, when we expect and ask for transformation, we are filled more and more with the joy and the hope of the coming kingdom. But there's a word of warning that is due. See, when we turn our lives over to Jesus, we know that it is not all smooth sailing. It is not all up and to the right. There's an old children's song that I have always struggled a bit with. It says, I'm in right, outright, upright, downright, happy all the time, okay? And it keeps going and gets faster. And it's in right, outright, upright, downright, happy all the time. And then it says, since Jesus Christ came in and cleansed my heart from sin, I'm in right, outright, upright, downright, happy all the time. And I'm like, that's great. That's really fun. That's catchy. I understand what we're trying to say. But also like, no, like this is a hard life. Like we are promised that we are going to experience pain. We're going to be discouraged. Let's not forget that John the Baptist is in prison in our passage. I mean, he's not happy all the time. There's a joy maybe that is bubbling up that's different than this happiness all the time. Peter writes in his letter to the scattered church, he writes, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. See, the early Christians, maybe like the composer of Happy All the Time, and maybe like John the Baptist, maybe like us, is surprised that they're facing trials after turning to Jesus. And so Peter is telling them, do not be surprised, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Don't be surprised when we face fiery ordeals. It doesn't mean that God has abandoned us. It means he's doing something in us. We will face trials in this world, but when we cling to the hope of the gospel, when we cling to the news of the coming kingdom, of the promised life, when we look in the face of Jesus, we experience and grow in joy. Again, we know happiness is like a sunny day, but joy is knowing that spring comes even in the dead of winter. So how do we access joy? How do we ready soil? How do we till up soil? I'm gonna just give you three really quick things. First, we look for evidence of the kingdom, like we've already talked about this morning. We know that happiness rises and falls on circumstances, but joy is anchored in the kingdom. So Jesus gives the disciples of John this litany of kingdom moments to report. So maybe it's time for you to do that. Maybe this week, spend just 10 minutes, just jot down where are there places where you've seen hope and healing and restoration and beauty from ashes in your life? Where have you seen signposts that can point you in the right direction? Second, we can share good news. Jesus tells John's disciples to go back, to report to John what they've seen and what they've heard. Can you imagine maybe their faces as they go back to John? If Jesus had joy in his face, John's disciples, I mean, they've got to be beaming, talking about what they've experienced, what they've seen, what they've witnessed. So who has God put in your path to report the inbreaking of the kingdom to? Take your new list of healing and hope and beauty and share it with someone who needs to know the joy of the Lord themselves. And then third, we can look to Jesus. The author of Hebrews wrote, "Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross." What's the joy that's set before Jesus? What is it that he had in mind as he endured the cross? It's you. It's you and it's me. It's this moment, this knowledge that we could be saved, that we could be in relationship with him, that we could be citizens of this kingdom, which is what we place our hope in. And so start each day intentionally looking to Jesus. Spend time in the Gospels, spend time in prayer, endeavor to know him more and more, and in doing so, experience and grow in joy. I think I've shared this C.S. Lewis quote before, but again, to read this, Lewis wrote at one point, "Our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We're half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea." So we are made for joy. We are made to see the world in vibrant color, to grow in love and joy and peace and all of the rest. So open your hearts to the work of the Spirit. Look to Jesus. Even in a dry valley, even in a wilderness, even in a prison, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And where the kingdom is, there is joy. Let's pray. Lord, you are good. You continue your work in this world. You continue your work in our hearts. And so we ask that you would awaken us to this. Lord, that we would see where your hand is moving. Lord, that we would have an awareness of where your kingdom is breaking forth in our midst. Lord, fill us with joy. Allow us to be people who bring joy to a hurting and confused and lost world. Lord, you are good. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hearing God's word is just the beginning. What connected with you? What challenged you today? Maybe it's surrendering something, stepping into community, or simply trusting him more deeply. Whatever it is, don't leave it for later. Act on it today. We're praying that this message moves you closer to Jesus, and we'd love to walk with you in that journey and answer any questions you've got. Connect with us by visiting firstprescos.org. Hey, if today's message encouraged you, take a moment and subscribe so you never miss an episode, and share it with someone who needs to hear it. Check in next week and we'll continue to grow in our faith together. See you next time.